Off the Ball Breakfast.
Well, you say doing double training sessions. I'd say he's being forced to do double training sessions, and he's there as a shell of a person.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! Greg Littlaw is with us to help us get a sense of what Scotland might be thinking about ahead of this game. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you doing?
Didn't realise that you were the captain the last time Scotland beat Ireland in the Six Nations. It's been a while.
It's been a while, definitely. All the way back in 2017 there. So, yeah, hopefully we can get up this weekend. I think it's going to be an awesome match and a very close one.
It felt over the last 5 years that Scotland were ready to make a breakout, that things were coalescing, and it never quite happened. And yet they've been brilliant against England over that period, like generally beating them at Twickenham. What is the bit that's just stopping them from beating Ireland and beating France and being the best team in the Six Nations?
Well, they're definitely not far away, that's for sure. I think you mentioned, you know, us beating England over the last number of years, and I think it's just about getting over that hurdle, isn't it? One time, and we can probably learn a little bit off Ireland in that sense with the All Blacks. You know, you look at that over the last few years, how that's turned out. I think Ireland have gotten over that hurdle, and I think Scotland just need to get a big victory. And if they can do that, obviously winning game one of the Six Nations is huge for them, and they've already done that. So this game this weekend against Ireland, it's a massive opportunity, I believe, for Scotland.
Just to reflect a little bit on the opening weekend, 15 minutes in, you think, wow, this is going to be an absolute paddling. Scotland are almost perfect. The way the game pans out, though, if you're a head coach, in some respects, it's almost better than absolutely annihilating a team, because no one takes that seriously. They're like, oh, well, you know, Italy folded the tent and went home. But they didn't. They came back into it. And Scotland showed some resolve to make sure that they were able to manage the game properly. So it's not perfect. There's plenty to work on, but you do still get the benefit of the victory.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? Test match rugby within the Six Nations, it's about winning games. And I think you're right in terms of Scotland probably prefer a tough test match, you know, firstly. And I think they came that through the game really well, to be honest. You know, it was 19-all, you know, around that, you know, 50-odd minute mark. And I think starting to get that sticky, nervous part of the game. And Scotland done really well and just, you know, sticking to their guns, playing their attacking rugby. And, you know, Darcy Graham again with, I think he had 10 tackle breaks, you know, which was amazing. You know, he gets Scotland on the front foot, they get the field position, you know, and they managed to score two tries late in the game and really take the game away from Italy. So again, Scotland can take confidence from the way they finished the test match.
Your halfback partner that day, Greg, back in 2017 was Finn Russell when he beat Ireland 27-22. On the day. And I just wanted to know, 8 years on, like, how do you think Russell's game has evolved? Do you see a different player now watching from afar than the one that was right beside you as halfback partner?
Yeah, it's a great question. He's obviously developed, you know, over the years as well into an even better player. He was excellent then also. And I think he's added probably a few more layers to that, just in terms of his leadership, probably his calmness and around how he leads the team with his voice. And his actions as well, and he's obviously the main man Scotland look to now. And I think, but I think linked into that as well is somebody like Hugh Jones, you know, really stepping up last weekend also, and he's really sort of grown coming back into the team as well. So that consistency, I guess, sort of selection through that 10 and 13 jersey for Scotland, that's been really important and will be really important again this weekend.
Like, Scotland are so dangerous at the back, like that back three is most sides in the world would be envious of it. And Blair Kinghorn, Darcy Graham, and Duane van der Merwe. Hugh Jones scores the hat trick at the weekend. We've already touched on Russell, but it seems to be, is it the forwards really that Scotland have struggled with against Ireland? Like, you know, it's 10 from 10. Like, it's a remarkable statistic, really. Like, I mean, that shouldn't be the case. And like, 14 and 15 defeats since 2014 for Scotland against Ireland. I'm trying to nail, like, why do you think that happens? It must be more than a mental block. Is it, there's actually, strategically, there's a problem?
Well, Ireland are good as well. You know, good team, well coached, good players, and potentially, you know, across the piece, a little bit more strength and depth. And particularly, you're probably right up front in the forwards. You know, you look at now, I think Ireland's bench is still strong. You know, Scotland's strong in places, but not as strong as it probably could be with a couple of injuries. And I think we definitely need to front up over the 80-minute period, you know, against Ireland up front to have any chance of winning this weekend.
It's not that I dislike sport. I like watching sport. I think I tell myself I just must have missed the lessons when they, you know, explain to you how you kick a football or how you do the crawl in a swimming pool. I remember, I haven't written this down, but I remember swimming. You know, I thought swimming for me was always, it was a bit of an effort. You know, I could swim, but I felt it was a bit of an effort, all the getting changed and, yeah, and then spluttering about and not quite enough. So I thought when I was about 30, I saw in the local swimming baths, you know, improver's lessons. I thought, I'll go to those. And it was great. And I learned a lot and I love swimming. But it was mostly people who weren't used to being terrible, now suddenly being very terrible, wearing very little on, being told what to do by an 18-year-old. And there was one lesson when she was trying to explain the crawl, and there was one guy, quite a big chap, in his sort of 40s, and he was struggling, and she was trying to encourage him, and he just shouted, aerodynamically, this isn't possible. And she said, but this is the crawl. People are swimming this for thousands of years. And he just went, nope. And he got out and left and never came back. And I think there's someone who's, maybe he ran a small business or something.
Yeah,
and he was so used to just asking for people to do stuff. The idea of him looking awful.
I don't think that was about her.
Yeah. So, so I kind of enjoy watching sport. And I grew up with like two sports mad brothers and, you know, my brother who I shared a room with when I was, you know, in my early teens and, you know, 10, 12 and early teens, you know, he was a mad Liverpool and Celtic fan. Right. So, you know, I could tell you all about the Liverpool teams from the 1970s, you know.
They're on your wall.
The, you know, the Steve Highway and,
oh, yeah,
Toshack era, you know, all that. I could tell you about that. And sort of, I sort of acquired that familiarity with it, but maybe in a kind of, but I was very bookish, and so maybe in a kind of slightly rebellious way, I went down the way of classical music and Charles Dickens novels. but I am fascinated by it. I really like watching sports documentaries, actually. There's something about the drama of it. And I love, you know, the big, I could quite happily watch football matches if they're a big, you know, the World Cup. So, you know, being Scottish, I will be Scottish and Italian, you know, I've got the best of both.
That
girls.
Is pretty good, yeah. You know?
But I can never really watch Scotland since Argentina, whatever it was, 78?
Yeah.
It was traumatic, and it was very late on, and, you know, the matches were on at 11 o'clock at night, and it was it Iran and then Peru or something? And then they had to beat Brazil. No, Holland. They had to beat Holland by 3 goals and nearly did it. But it was so traumatic that I have never watched a Scotland game ever since.
Really?
I find it too too stressful.
That's the Archie Gemmill game, is it?
That's right.
Where he runs
and got that, you know, one of the greatest goals of all time.
Yeah.
But feature on it in World Cup Italia 90, actually. They block
but
it
I
out.
Did want to mention, so it's not quite technically watching a match live, but I have a special memory of the 82 World Cup in Barcelona, wasn't it? Yes. Because my father died at a young age. He was 56 that summer. And so I would have been about 16 and my brothers were, you know, 20 and 24. And just watching the Brazil-Italy game was just one of the most extraordinary matches I've ever watched. You know, the lead just backwards and forwards. And then Italy going on to win the World Cup that summer. And it was such a kind of, for my brothers especially, it was such a kind of good moment after the kind of, I think my dad passed away in like June. So it was very soon. And Glasgow, all the Italians in Glasgow driving around George Square with flags and stuff like that. So that was...
Your mum and dad were obviously both Italian.
So my mum was born in Glasgow, but her parents were Italian.
Okay.
So both sides of the family.
Why did they end up in Glasgow?
Good question. So my mother's side came over after the First World War. My dad came over. He fought in the partisans against the fascists as a teenager, really. And after the Second World War, just felt he had to go somewhere else. Glasgow at the time was a big port, shipbuilding. There were jobs there. Right. People travelled by ship then rather than flying. His boat was due to go on to New York, but it docked at Glasgow. He got off, fell in love and settled, and the rest is history. And there are large Italian communities there. I mean, it's food, really. It's like, you know, Italians bringing food to Scotland in the 1920s.
I mean, a blast of colour.
That was a popular move.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A popular move.